You're listening to WBH Sports Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 40. Recording here at the great campus of Brooklyn College. Shout out to all the students here at the radio station. You can check them out on social media at MyWBCR. Episode 40, man, that's a nice round number. Never anticipated making it this far. But here we are, and we're going to try to keep climbing slowly but surely. Salute to everybody that's been listening from the jump. Salute to you if this is your very first episode. It is all appreciated. Now, today I want to get into a few things. Colin Kaepernick has a workout for the NFL on Saturday, November 16th. Is it legit or nah? Carmelo Anthony's going back to the NBA. In fact, I want to tell you guys about running into Melo a few weeks ago. The Houston Astros have been found to be cheaters. We could discuss that. But first, I want to talk about the New York Knicks. You guys know I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My family, my friends are all New York Knicks fans. Well, except my mother. If you heard the previous episode, she's a diehard Brooklyn fan. But for the majority, everybody is a Knicks supporter. And it's early in the season. The Knicks are currently 3-9. But fans are already showing up to Madison Square Garden with brown paper bags over their head. And I want to kind of take a look back at the Knicks' history and see if the reputation they have as a horrible franchise, is it really warranted, right? And if so, where did it go wrong? Was there a place in history where things could have been done differently to change the current state of the New York Knicks? 1985, that is the year that I was born. It's also the year that the New York Knicks selected a center out of Georgetown by the name of Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing played 15 years for the Knicks. Gave him 15 years. It was a team that New Yorkers could get behind. Tough, rugged, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, John Starks, Derek Harper, Anthony Mason. They were competitive year in and year out. Patrick Ewing, one of the 50 greatest players of all time, a Hall of Famer. So I don't fault the organization for anything that happened to those 15 years. Those 15 years, I'm cool. It's not the organization's fault that Patrick Ewing and his guys had to go up against the great Michael Jordan. Right? The Knicks had some blunders against the sharpshooter Reggie Miller. You know, we wish Patrick Ewing would have dunked the ball instead of finger rolls that rolled out. But I don't discredit the organization. They put a product on the court that was competitive. And in fact, the minute Michael Jordan retired, the Knicks found themselves in the finals. They lost to a better player and a better team in Hakeem Olajuwon and the Houston Rockets. Again, I can't throw any salt on the organization. They put a product on the court that we could get behind, a product that was competitive. So for those 15 years, they're not this horrible franchise that everybody's talking about. Like, I'm good with that. And during most of Patrick Ewing's tenure, the team was led by Coach Pat Riley. Now, this is one of the few mistakes that I'm going to put on the Knicks organization. Pat Riley was the coach of the Knicks, led him to the finals versus the Houston Rockets. And Pat Riley eventually left New York for Miami. And we know what he did in Miami. He became a championship coach, president. He helped assemble LeBron James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, you know, that run. And the reason he left New York is because the Knicks wouldn't give him the power in the organization to be general manager, to be president, to pick players. So he left. Now, in hindsight, we can say that's a mistake. Dog, we had Pat Riley in Madison Square Garden. We let him walk away. But even if you look back, like, who knew Pat Riley was going to become this great franchise builder? When he was with New York, yeah, he won a few championships as a Los Angeles Lakers coach. But he did that with Magic Johnson and Kareem. Like, anybody could have did that. So even though in hindsight that's a mistake for the organization, in real time, I can't fault the Knicks for not handing the keys over to Pat Riley. So again, I don't see where Jim Dolan and the Knicks are just a trash organization. After Pat Riley leaves, Don Nelson takes over, and then eventually we get to Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy is a Pat Riley disciple. And that was another good run for New Yorkers. Another team we could get behind. Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby. In fact, the Knicks were the second eighth seed ever to go to the finals, when the Knicks went to the finals in that lockout shortened year and played the San Antonio Spurs. That was a run that New Yorkers got behind. Larry Johnson in the four-point play. Like, we remember this. So, again, this is the organization putting the product on the court that we rock with. I'm not faulting them. During that run to the championship, they did without Patrick Ewing. He was injured. Like, we was all in. Unfortunately, they lost to the San Antonio Spurs and the Twin Towers, Tim Duncan and David Robinson. So y'all still with me? I got no issue with the organization. Right? I still don't see this horrible leadership that people talk about. If you keep in count, one mistake, letting Pat Riley walk. Okay, so Jeff Van Gundy's there. Eventually, Jeff Van Gundy moves on, and the Knicks bring in Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, former Detroit Piston bad boy, two-time champion with them. Right? They bring him in to basically run all basketball matters. Now, in hindsight, we know that was a mistake. Isaiah Thomas was caught up into some sexual misconduct charges in the front office. He brought in Stephon Marbury, who on a national basketball landscape, people hated that move. I'm a bit biased because I'm a Brooklyn Knight and Marbury is one of our kings. But people thought it was a joke. And that regime didn't do well, right? He brought in Lenny Wilkins as a coach. He brought in Larry Brown. It just didn't go very well. So that's mistake number two. We got two mistakes thus far. But I could even defend that. Here you have Isaiah Thomas, a two-time champion. He led the Detroit Piston bad boys in the early 90s, winning championships against the likes of Magic Johnson, battling the likes of Larry Bird. I can see how James Dolan would be enticed by the opportunity to bring in one of the 50 greatest players of all time. So again, I don't even put that on the organization. That's not on them. And even Isaiah, he had brought some talent in the building. He brought in Zach Randolph. He brought in Jamal Crawford. T-Mac was here for a little while. Stephon Marbury, just for whatever reason, they could never put all the pieces together at once. Never make it a successful product. So the organization, being what a good organization would do, they identified their mistake and they moved on from Isaiah Thomas. After Isaiah Thomas, the Knicks bring in a gentleman to run basketball operations by the name of Donnie Walsh. Now, there was some tough years at the beginning of Donnie Walsh's tenure, but we knew that was coming because he had to clean up the mess of Isaiah Thomas. To me, this is what a good organization does. They identified the faults of the previous leader, and they're trying to rectify them. And you know what? Donnie Walsh did a great job. Why do I say that? Because in 2010, when some of the best players in the league, LeBron James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Amari Stoudemire, were getting set to be free agents, the Knicks had the cap space to sign them. So that is a great job by the Knicks organization. Having foresight to clean up Isaiah's mess and get us some cap space so we could be in the running for these big-time free agents. And the Knicks did just that. You got to salute them for that. Now, when free agency opens up and LeBron James chooses to go to Miami, that's not on the organization. They did their part. They had the money on the table. When D-Wade and Chris Bosh say no, that's not on Jim Dolan. So the Knicks end up with Amari Stoudemire. Guys, I got to say it again. Another team New Yorkers could rock with. Amari Stoudemire, Ray Felton, Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler. That team had people excited. I remember rushing home to see those games. Yo, we got a star back in Madison Square Garden. Amari's here. Competing each and every night. He had a stretch where he scored like 30 points a game for like 15 straight games, something crazy like that. It was a team we were rocking with. Got to salute the organization. Not this horrible, moribund franchise that people try to make it out to be. So that squad's rocking. Then you hear grumblings about Carmelo Anthony wants to be a New York Knick. Carmelo Anthony wants to come back to the place that he was born. You know, what do you do in that situation? The Knicks said, okay, cool. Melo will be a free agent in the offseason. We'll just wait to sign him then. Then you hear from Melo's camp, I don't know if I want to wait to be a free agent to sign with the Knicks because I would lose out on some money. If that's the case, I might just re-up and sign with the Nuggets. So the pressure was on the Knicks. What do we do? Do we take a chance and wait for Melo to come to us in the offseason, or do we trade for him right now? That's when the Knicks traded for Carmelo Anthony midseason. Now, me personally, I thought that was a mistake because they gave up half their roster. Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Ray Felton, Timothy Mozgov. But as a fan base, I don't think you guys believe that was a mistake. You wanted Melo here. So again, Jim Dolan and the New York Knicks doing what the people want. We bring Melo in. For a while, it was cool. You know, we had Melo, Amari, we had stars in the building. D'Antoni's offense, they going up and down. But Amari has some injuries. Chauncey Billups has some injuries. The team is not as deep as it once was because we traded everybody for Melo. And the organization was kind of handcuffed. They put the stars on the court, and unfortunately, those guys didn't perform. So we had to ride that out for some time. Amari leaves. D'Antoni leaves, right? Knicks fans start to get agitated again. Come on, we need some winning basketball in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks doing what a good organization would do. They listen to the people. Oh, y'all want somebody in here that's going to help us put together a winning team? Jim Dolan brings in Phil Jackson. 11-time champion Phil Jackson. The man that helped Michael, Kobe, Shaq, Scottie Pippen reach the pinnacle of their careers. Now, be honest with me, audience. Was anybody upset with that move? No. Jim Dolan, that's him answering the bell. That's the New York Knicks doing what a good organization would do. Gave him his money. Gave him carte blanche. Phil Jackson was able to bring in his coach. At first, he was entertaining Steve Kerr. Then eventually, it was Derek Fisher. Y'all told Jim Dolan to give somebody the keys and get out the way. That's what he did. It's just unfortunate that Phil was a disaster. Who the hell saw that coming? You know, to me, that's the Knicks organization learning from the mistake they made letting Pat Riley walk away. So they went and got the best, or at least the guy we thought was the best, the Zen master, Phil Jackson. That ain't on the Knicks. That ain't on Jim Dolan. He answered the bell. He put the money up. Phil was a disaster. Phil freaking signed Carmelo Anthony to a deal, gave him a no-trade clause, and then he's in the media saying, yo, it's time for Melo to move on. Huh? I never seen such unprofessionalism. Melo had to battle his opposition and the guys upstairs in the front office. I never seen that. It was Phil Jackson that drafted Frank Ntilikina from France, who doesn't seem like he's a true NBA player. And then when Phil was a mess, what did the Knicks do? Got rid of him. Right? They weren't stubborn. They weren't beholden to their decision to bring him in. They said, you know what? He's not working. They got him out of here. Then they bring in a new regime. Scott Perry. They bring in David Fizdale as a coach. And again, the Knicks pulled it off again. When LeBron James was a free agent in 2018, the Knicks were in prime position and they had the money to bring him in. He chose to go elsewhere. That ain't on the organization. They had the money. And again in 2019, when another crop of free agents were up, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they had the money again. It's not their fault that KD and them didn't even give them meetings. Like, really, like, what you really want the organization to do? So I think over these years, the Knicks have gotten a bad rap. Even Jim Dolan. He's probably not a nice guy. Is it right that he keeps Oakley out of the gym? No. But, dog, what else do you want them to do? To me, they've done everything. Have there been mistakes along the way? Like I said, Pat Riley, they probably shouldn't trade for Melo. But those are mistakes any franchise can make. And to me, they recovered from them when they had the money for the free agents. When they brought in David Fizdale, who was LeBron's assistant coach in Miami, they brought him in to hopefully entice LeBron in 2018. Didn't work. Had the money for Kevin Durant and Kyrie. What else you want them to do? So when I hear people calling for Jim Dolan to sell a team, like, I think the Knicks got a bad rap. I think it's a string of bad luck and unfortunate events. I don't believe they are as a moribund franchise as people make them out to be. I'm going to leave that right there. I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick's workout with the NFL on November 16th. Now, a lot of people have questioned the legitimacy of this workout. Are they doing it for the right reasons? How fair is it? So I want to go through a couple pieces, item by item. Right? Number one, yo, man, it's unfair. They are pulling Kaepernick in on such short notice. Dog, if the man been on social media for 3 years saying he ready, how much time does he really need? Here's a plane ticket. Meet us here. Here's a football. Let's see what you got. So if they call him on a Tuesday for a Saturday workout, like, what else he need? Every day he's been telling us he's ready. So I don't understand people that are saying it's too short a notice. What else he needs, son? Y'all just want to make yourselves the victim no matter what happens. In the NFL, they play the games on Sunday. If a quarterback gets injured, they on the phone looking for a quarterback to fly into the facility and test them out on short notice. That's how the game goes. Kaepernick need a parade first? No. Yo, dog, we got a need. Can you feel it? Pull up. So I got no problem with the short notice. People say, well, traditionally they work people out on Tuesday. Well, shoot, lucky him. He got a couple extra days. It's not Tuesday. It's on Saturday. And shout out to my man Fenton, man. Happy birthday to my brother. He sent me an article and it said that the reason it's on a Saturday is because the NFL was looking for a facility to host the event, and the Atlanta Falcons facility will be available that Saturday. They didn't have one available on the Tuesday, so they got one that Saturday. Another thing I've heard people say is that, listen, traditionally when free agents are signed, it is the individual team that reaches out to the player. Why is it the NFL league office that is hosting Colin Kaepernick's workout? That's a legit question. And my theory is, if a team was to reach out to Colin Kaepernick, let's say the Buffalo Bills, they would be left alone to face the backlash that would come with bringing Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. The media, the fans would crush them. Oh, the Buffalo Bills. So in my opinion, by the league hosting this workout, it is the whole league showing that, look, we embrace Colin Kaepernick. All 32 teams of us, right? This is the league wrapping their arms. This is a joint decision. We're not going to leave one team out there to fight the media and the backlash on their own. No, it's all 32 of us bringing him in. That's my stance on that. It's hard for fans to fight the whole league. No. It's not just a one-off team, the Saints or the Bengals, that are going to bring him in. No. All 32 of us are embracing him. Another point of contention for Kaepernick supporters has been that the workout is on a Saturday, right? The day before NFL Sunday. So it's going to be hard for head coaches and GMs to get there. Let me ask you guys, what day is college football played on? It's played on Saturdays, right? So Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots, Sean McVay, head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, they probably don't make it to too many college games because they're busy preparing for their own game on Sunday. But I promise you, they are well aware who the top 10 quarterbacks in college football, the top 10 offensive linemen, running back, wide receivers. These organizations have a scouting department. The head coach and the GM ain't zigzagging all over the country in these small towns looking at recruits, looking at potential picks. They have a team specifically for that. So I don't care what head coach or GM shows up or doesn't show up for Colin Kaepernick's workout. The NFL said it will be taped. They said his interview will be taped. And that footage will be disseminated to the teams. So because the freaking Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints ain't shown up at that workout, doesn't mean he's not aware of what's going on. Doesn't mean he won't see the footage. And let me ask you, audience, if I told you there was a tape of Colin Kaepernick working out, Colin Kaepernick interviewing, All right, the first time he's really spoken publicly. Do you think all 32 teams will watch it? Exactly. Yes is the answer. So the going back and forth about who's going to be there and who's not going to be there, I think that's so insignificant. Another one of my theories. People ask, why now? Why Saturday, November 16th? Do you guys know what November 11th was? Monday, November 11th, right? Just 5 days before Colin Kaepernick's scheduled workout. What holiday was that? Veterans Day. I don't think it's a coincidence that his workout is 5 days after Veterans Day. Because look, if the league was to bring Colin Kaepernick in, you have that story, it could engulf Veterans Day and the things the NFL does surrounding Veterans Day. Salute to service, right? You see the sidelines, all the coaches and the players are in camo gear, camo hoodies. I believe the NFL said, yo, let us get past Veterans Day, and then we'll bring Cap in. So whenever they made that decision, whether it was September, October, yo, let's bring Cap in. Yeah, man, but we got that Veterans Day coming up real soon. You know what? Let's wait until after it. Let those Air Force fighter jets fly over stadiums first. Let that flag wave at center field first. And then we'll bring Cap in. Less of a distraction, right? We let Veterans Day go off without a hitch. So that's my theory as to why. Why now? It's not a coincidence that it's 5 days after Veterans Day. Another piece on Colin Kaepernick and why now. I want to go back. Black quarterbacks for a long time, right? Organizations, they didn't trust black quarterbacks. They wouldn't allow them to run their franchise. And then you have Doug Williams. He eventually breaks through and wins a Super Bowl with the Redskins. You have Warren Moon, after going to Canada first for a professional opportunity, comes back to the NFL, has a Hall of Fame career. And then from there, it's like NFL teams said, dang, the black quarterback is successful. Get me one of those. And then they just came out of any and everywhere. Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick. It's as if the NFL owners succumbed to peer pressure. Right? I think that's actually the greatest pressure, peer pressure. They saw those teams over there winning with black quarterbacks. Yo, somebody get me one. Because winning and money trumps racism and sexism. If they're going to produce, if they're going to line my pockets, get them in here. I told y'all, America got a bigger problem than racism and sexism. It's capitalism. So that's why we see the black quarterbacks everywhere. So fast forward to today. Russell Wilson is leading the way. Super Bowl champion, having one of the best years of his career, might be MVP. Dak Prescott is at the helm of America's team. Balling outrageous. Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans, the passing ability, the threat for the run. And then Lamar Jackson, my Lord. Every Sunday, I've been taking the time out to just sit back and enjoy Lamar Jackson. He running and spin moving and juking. So I think there are owners that sit up in their box and they are tired of seeing all of these teams with dynamic quarterbacks. And they say to their scouting department, their general, somebody go get me one, please. Right? That peer pressure is mounting. I'm tired of seeing Lamar Jackson run all over against my team. I'm tired of seeing Deshaun Watson dissect us. Somebody get me one. And that's how Colin Kaepernick names come up. Because Colin Kaepernick is the precursor to all these guys that are running and throwing. Colin Kaepernick was one pass away from winning the Super Bowl. And on that playoff run, I got stats from one game. January 12, 2013, it was Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers versus the Green Bay Packers versus Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Listen to Colin Kaepernick's stat line in 2013. He had 263 pass yards with two touchdowns. Oh, yeah, he had 16 rushes for 181 yards and two touchdowns, including a 56-yard run for a touchdown. I remember that game, watching in real time, and I thought, man, I never seen somebody unstoppable on a football field. And basketball, yeah, some people are unstoppable. But on football, that's the first time I remember seeing, yo, Colin Kaepernick is unstoppable. With the emergence of all these dual-threat quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick and his skill set, the value is at an all-time high. And I think those owners are sitting in their box. They don't care if he took a knee or whatever. Yo, I want one of those. And lastly, how much of a role do you think Hove played in Colin Kaepernick getting a workout? I don't know. But if you're a conspiracy theorist, I mean, too many coincidences aren't just coincidences, are they? Jay-Z announced his partnership in August. 2 months later, Colin Kaepernick gets a workout from the NFL when he last played his game in 2006, 3 years he sat out. I don't know. You tell me. So that's my piece on Colin Kaepernick and his workout. I think it is more than legit. And we're going to see him back in the NFL. We are going to see him back in the NFL. I believe so. I want to read a text message I received from one of my friends. Let me get my phone here. In fact, damn, I might need my glasses. Let me read this. This is from my man, Kelly George, in Atlanta, Georgia. I got to give Kelly his executive producer credits because I was unaware of this until he texted me this. So bear with him. Let me read this. It says, Stephen A. contract. Shocked face emoji. Strong arm emoji. That's it. That was the whole text. I said, okay, let me take a look. I guess Stephen A. got some money. Let me take a look. And I looked, and Stephen A. Smith of ESPN signed a contract that's going to pay him $8 million a year for 5 years. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. Or is it? I ask you guys, what do you think of that contract? No, better yet, I'm going to ask you this question. If they're willing to pay Stephen A. Smith $8 million a year, how much is he worth? How much does he generate for that company? Well over eight, I'm sure, right? So if he's worth more than eight and he generates more than eight, how can we celebrate his $8 million a year? After you listen to this podcast, of course, right? Finish listening. I want you guys to go pull up Solange's album. You know, Beyonce's little sister. There's an interlude. The album with cranes on it. I forget the name of it. There's an interlude on it. The interlude is For Us, By Us. And the person speaking on the interlude is a gentleman by the name of Percy Miller, a.k.a. Master P. Make him say, And on that skit, he's talking about getting a record deal or being offered a record deal. And he says, yo, so I went to see this guy. He had $1 million check for me. Right? And Master P turned it down. And he's arguing with his brother. His brother like, man, you should have took the million. And Master P said, listen, if this white man is willing to offer me $1 million, I gotta be worth 50. So why would I take those pennies on the dollar when I'm worth 50 million? I'm gonna go fight for a bigger piece of the pie. You know, and I wish Stephen A. would have done so. Especially at this point in his career where he's got all the credibility in the world. Stephen A. Smith is the first person I ever heard talk about LeBron James going to Miami. Right? When Carmelo Anthony finally decided to talk to the public, he called upon Stephen A. Smith. Right? Stephen A. Smith, a gentleman that's on TV, First Take, 2 hours. He's hosting SportsCenter. He got a radio show. He's covering the games at night. $8 million is pennies for a man that's carrying that organization, that network. $8 million is pennies to a man that has all the credibility in the world, not only with us, the audience, but the athletes. A few years ago, he got in a spat with Kevin Durant, threatened a man on TV, and Stephen A. still here. I turned and looked the other day, Stephen A. and Kevin Durant sitting at the table, First Take. Stephen A. and Kevin Durant are on Kevin Durant's The Boardroom. That's credibility. That's honorability. That shit worth more than $8 million. And at this point in Stephen A.'s career, I would have loved to see him go out on his own and fight for a little bit more. Go an independent route. Right? Go get you a show on HBO. Go get you your own YouTube show, your own Spotify podcast. Wherever he's at, we gonna come looking. Let's put a few things in perspective. When John Gruden was the voice of Monday Night Football, he was the highest paid employee at ESPN, making $6.5 million a year. Monday Night Football, that's 16 games a year, plus one playoff game, 17 games a year, and a couple John Gruden camps in the summer. So what, John Gruden's on TV 25 days a year, 30 days a year, 40 days a year maybe? Stephen A. Smith is on TV from sunup to sundown, all year round. Y'all pay him $8 million. Stephen A. just became the highest paid employee at ESPN. Prior to that, it was Greenberg at $6.5 million. Greenberg ain't moving the needle nearly as much as Stephen A. Smith. He ain't on TV nearly as much. You know, I would have liked to, at this point in Stephen A.'s career, I would like to see him fight for a little bit more. Right? Stop just being a hired gun. Fight for a little bit more ownership. Colin Cowherd, who's on Fox Sports 1. Cool, I like Colin Cowherd. His salary, $6 million a year. Not only is it $6 million, but he gets a portion. He owns a bit of his content, his radio show. So when his radio show gets picked up all around the country in different markets, he gets a slice of that. So according to Andrew Marchand at the New York Post, his salary is $6 million, but it's probably more than that when you account for him owning his content. I didn't see those details in Stephen A.'s posting. You know, we got to stop just being hired guns. Fight for more. Fight for ownership. Fight for creative control, right? Fight for a percentage of the pie. Don't just cut me a check and say scurry along. Salute to my man Kels for putting that on my radar. Another thing Kelly and I were discussing was load management. NBA players sitting out, kind of preserving their health. And actually, I wrote about this on my website a few years ago. I guess first, I'll start here. My definition of a man, right? When I wake up in the morning, when I look in the mirror, what do I think a man is? And tops on that list is a man is somebody that's responsible. You know, there were many times that I didn't want to play college basketball. Like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to talk to y'all. I don't want to do anything. But you know what? I owed it to my teammates. I owed it to my coach, right? I showed up. A man is somebody that's accountable for their actions, right? If you do the crime, got to do the time, right? So when these NBA players accept a contract for 82 games a year and they don't show up, that's some little boy stuff. That's dishonorable. Now you say, but Will, we got to compete for the championship. Hold on. The championship only matters because me, the fan, says so. But if you disrespect me along the way of those 82 games, you ain't going to have any fans left to show off that championship trophy too. There's no business in the world that can disrespect their consumer and their partners and continue to thrive. It's disrespectful. TNT, ESPN, these guys negotiate contracts with the league to have broadcast rights, right? Turner pays for these games on Thursday night. They pay for specific packages. They pay for the Los Angeles Clippers versus the freaking Milwaukee Bucks. But in actuality, they're paying for Kawhi Leonard versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. So if the players don't deliver that, they rob them. And I don't know where you from. That ain't good business. Right? Everybody sitting at the table is doing their job except for the players. The owners, they opening the door to the arenas, right? The practice facilities, the travel, the partners in turn and ESPN, they're broadcasting the games. The only person sitting at the table that's not carrying their weight is the players. And that's dishonorable. And not only that, but the players are just kind of shrugging their shoulders. You're disrespecting your fans, right? And you're just thumbing your nose at us. And you're doing it because you know you could get away with it. The contracts are guaranteed. Like, that's a bully. To do something because you know you could get away with it. That's being a bully. Well, Will, they're concerned about their health. You know what? I'm with you. Going back to my definition of a man, responsibility. If my health, if the back-to-backs are a concern, bring it up at the negotiating table. Do not take the money and skate off. And in fact, the players had a concern about back-to-back years ago. LeBron addressed it with the commissioner. You know what they did? They eliminated a lot of them. If you remember, on Thursday nights, they used to be just whatever games were taking place in the NBA, usually two, it was on Turner. But when you look at the schedule, there might be three or four games because they wanted to relieve some of the pressure in the schedule and prevent guys from playing back-to-backs. Adam Silver gives guys a week off during the All-Star break because LeBron and them wanted it. Okay, guys, you're getting what you asked for. You have to deliver. And if the games are too much, say that at the negotiating table. Listen, the schedule's too much. Let's cut these games. Do you know how great the NBA would be if the games were, it was only 60, 70, 55? It would be appointment viewing. We would be running home to watch these games. The NFL only plays 16, and they are a league that is more popular than the NBA. They make more money than the NBA. Cut the games, but do it at the negotiating table. Don't do it after you've stolen everybody's money. That's dishonorable, and you can't tell me, you can't convince me anything else. That's childish, man. Everybody's holding up the end of the bargain but the players. And because TNT and Turner TNT is Turner. TNT and ESPN, everybody's locked in the contracts. The NBA is just sit, the players are just sitting there with their arm folded, like, do something. That's a punk move. And I remember in that paper that I wrote on my website, I said, LeBron and them, y'all getting away with it, but is the league going to be as healthy financially when your son gets in? Because the next TV contract, ESPN and Turner, they got to address this. Nah, dog, we ain't giving y'all the money that we once did. No, 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 no. Because y'all ain't giving us the product. Low management, got to fix it. Steph Curry broke his hand, and they said he's done for the year. You don't think Steph Curry can return before the end of the season? I'm sure he can. It's just probably not worth it to the organization. This season's already a loss. Forget the fans that brought season tickets. F them. Forget the partners that have the Warriors playing on primetime. Yo, F them. You can't do business and just disregard everybody. I guarantee you, you and I will see photos of Steph Curry shooting jump shots before the season's over. But because they lack a sense of responsibility, they're not going to play him. And that is a crime. Yo, Carmelo Anthony is going back to the NBA. Man, salute to Melo. He's going back to the NBA. He's going to be playing with the Portland Trailblazers. I believe the Trailblazers are bringing him in because maybe they listened to my first podcast, the NBA preview. They realized, yo, you can't have just two little guards that shoot 40-footers. Right? You need somebody that can get you an easy basket. You know, and hopefully they could dump the ball into Melo. He could work on the block, get him some easy points. All right, so I think that should be a decent fit. That should be a decent fit. I'm not too happy that Carmelo was not signing a guaranteed contract. He's signing a non-guaranteed contract. You know, I think Melo deserves a little better than that. But when you're in a position that he is in and you just want to play ball, I guess you take what they give you. Now, I saw Carmelo Anthony recently. In fact, right here in Brooklyn, at a high school called Thomas Jefferson, that is where they host some AAU events. So I'm in there with my boy who's coaching two games. We just finished playing our first game. And in comes Melo. And it was pretty cool to see him and the love and respect that he got. You know, the guy on the mic, he saluted. Yo, we got Melo in the building. But the crowd wasn't overbearing. Like, yo, let that man sit in there. And, oh, yeah, and the reason Melo was in there is because his son was playing the AAU game. Yo, let that man be in here and just be a father and enjoy his family. So Melo and Lala both walked in, and they just on the sideline like any other parents cheering for their son. And it was cool to see them in that environment. It was cool to see the love that he received from the community because he deserves it, man. You know, you got all these sports hoes. Oh, Melo ain't a champion. You got all these GMs that try to act like Melo ain't one of the greatest to ever do it. It's sad. So I was happy to see him in that environment getting the love that he deserves. I actually went over to say what's up to him. You guys remember I used to work with the New York Rangers, and the Knicks were right down the hall. So I done chopped it up with Melo many a times. I went over to him like, yo, Melo, you remember from the Rangers? He gave me a love, respect, but... who knows? He run into so many different people. Who knows? But it was cool, man. He was, after his son finished playing, our team was on the same bench as his. And our players went over there, gave him a pound, and they went on the layup line. Like, it was just like, oh, Melo, what up? And then got back to business. So it was just cool to see him get the love, but also people let him just be a regular person. And I want to salute Melo and Lala and, like, that whole AAU team they have over there. It's called Black Ops. Because it seemed that Melo's son is playing in a healthy environment. They're allowing him to just be a kid. You know, people could be like, yo, you Melo's son, you got to score 40. Nah, let the kid play. And the kid was having fun. Sometimes he scores. Sometimes he throw an assist. Sometimes he throw the pass before the pass. He was just being a ball player. You know, a nice, healthy environment that he seemed to be playing in. And I got to salute LeBron on that as well. His son looks like he really has the joy for the game. It was never a pressure or a burden. And the real ball players understand that. Your child got to want it for themselves first. I see people who weren't that good at basketball, and they trying to drill the passion in their child. No, 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 no. That ain't how to go. The gorillas know, let that kid play at his own pace. Because that fire got to burn internally. Can't nobody place it in there for them. They got to want it for their own. Whether they get it at 5, 9, 10, 15 years old, whenever it happened, it needs to happen naturally. So kudos to Melo and Black Ops. A nice environment that his son was hooping in. About to get out of here. One last thing I wanted to address was the Houston Astros. It came out that the Houston Astros cheated during the 2017 World Series run. Now, this is a run that I was closely involved with. I got to see firsthand. I told you guys I was in the Houston Astros Stadium. Justin Verlander came to salute CC. I was there when they lost Game 7. You know, if the Astros cheated, they possibly robbed me personally from a World Series ring. Like, had the Yankees won that year, I'm like, yo, Cash, can I get a ring? So my opinion on the matter of the Houston Astros cheating by stealing signs, I don't care. Like, dog, at my heart, I am a player. That's going to always be my perspective. And as a player, when I go on that field, if they stealing signs and they banging on garbage cans, it don't matter. Whatever you put in front of me, I have to figure out a way to knock it down. Period. So if they were stealing signs, whatever, that's part of the game. You know, because when you in that arena as a player, as a gorilla, like, I'm Tom Cruise, I'm the Last Samurai. I'm Mel Gibson, I'm a Braveheart. I'm Gerard Butler, 300. This is Sparta! Like, you just got to figure it out by any means. Because if they cheated in 2017 and was successful, I'm sure it continued on. But in 2018, you know what? The Boston Red Sox found a way to beat them. In 2019, you know what? The Washington Nationals found a way to beat the Houston Astros. So cheating or not, from a player's perspective, a competitor's perspective, when I step on the court, if they got ineligible players, taller players, stronger players, whatever it is, they got cameras in the outfield, figure it out. I appreciate you guys listening. That was episode number 40. Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WBH Radio. If you like what you hear, send some love to the Cash App and Venmo at WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. I'm out.